Hi. Hi, everybody. Wait, my mic isn't even on my mouth.
I'll be for the start.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to That's Life Podcast. It's Abby Murphy and...
What's up?
Are you going to say your name?
So that was the actual intro that we filmed right before this, right before we had a fight. Now we're back again.
We had a little 10-minute intermission.
Guys, we've been doing that a lot lately. Just having
stop using that terminology.
Not a lot. It happened twice in the span of 3 days. A bicker, and I am really bad about like when the tiniest little inconvenience happens, it like stays with me and I can't get out of it.
Well, I let work mode just kind of bleed into.
Yeah. So basically, what happened was, we started the podcast and I was like, hey guys, la 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 la. And then it was like, yeah, da, 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 da. I don't want to talk about that. Da, 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 da. I'm like, we are in fact on a podcast and do in fact need to have a conversation. So then Ryan was like, can we stop it? So then I stopped it. And then I don't really know what happened.
I just said I needed to gather my thoughts because I was like on a work text right before we started.
Yeah, which I didn't know. So that was where the miscommunication led to conflict, because then...
I had a little short fuse, though.
Ryan was being just a little bit short. And then... But then I took it personally, and even though it was about work and not about me. But then I got sad, and then he got upset because I got sad. And he was like, why are you getting sad? It's not about you. Why are you getting sad? So anyways, but then we talked about it, and it's fine, and my life isn't over. Like? Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, can you do your best impression of me?
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to That's Life Podcast.
No, be for real. Is that your for real?
Yeah.
Okay. Keep going. I thought you were being silly.
No, that's what you sound like.
That's not what I sound like.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to That's Life Podcast.
Hello.
You can hear Abby talk. You can hear the smile when Ryan Abby's talking.
Ryan talks like this.
I don't talk like that.
You have a deep throat.
My voice is not that deep.
All right.
I feel like I really don't have that deep of a voice.
You do have a deep voice.
You think so?
On this right now, you do. You don't normally.
Compared to you.
Well, yeah, because I am a female woman.
Yeah, but I'm saying I feel like I don't really have that deep of a voice, like comparatively speaking.
To other guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. Yours is like an average, I feel like.
Yeah.
Actually, yours is a little high.
No, it's not.
Yours is a little bit higher than the everyday average Joe. Guys, we saw Wicked yesterday.
We did see Wicked.
Ryan's first time seeing Wicked, actually.
It was the first time.
What are your thoughts?
It was good. I mean, I it's not my style of movie, but it was great acting, great singing, and it was fine.
Ryan got the ick.
Yeah. I feel like it was very much necessary, or I don't know what the word is.
Yeah, you can't even say it because you're being truly overreacting.
No, who was overreacting?
No.
Abby was bawling.
Okay, guys. Any theater person who is listening to this podcast understands, okay, this is like, Wicked is like all theater kids' origin story of like how they got their start in theater. I, as a 6-year-old, saw this show on Broadway and started, my parents told, I don't remember. Well, I remember seeing it. I don't remember what I said, but my parents were like, we knew you were going to be in theater because you were like, where are they going after they finish singing, and why? How do the lights work, and what do they do when the lights go black? And like asking all the logistical kind of questions rather than like, ooh, pretty singer, like that kind of stuff. And they were like, so we knew there was something more in there than just like, this is a fun show. But I started when I was 9. So from a theater girly, like Wicked is like in musical theater culture, like founding father type of energy, okay? Like, it's like a foundation of theater as performers. It's just a huge thing. Like, for you, it's like meeting Michael Jordan or someone like that, probably.
Putting Wicked up against Michael Jordan seems a little
But
crazy.
In your world, that's your Wicked. In my world, Wicked is my Wicked.
But... It's not, though, because you didn't meet the characters in Wicked. You just watched it on a screen. It's like me watching Michael Jordan play basketball on a screen.
No, because I don't watch Wicked 5 nights a week. Yeah. So I don't need that.
You do realize Michael Jordan's retired, right?
You do realize that Wicked has never, ever, ever been a movie before. I saw it when I was six, and I've been doing theater for 11 years of my life.
Okay. It's the reason I got the ick is because after the show, Abby was sobbing.
I didn't cry the entire time. And then Defying Gravity came on.
But you weren't crying. You were like, a loud cry.
Can I explain?
And there's another theater person there with us, and they were just feeding off each other, and I just had to get out.
Okay, let me explain. I was fine the whole time. Defying Gravity.
It was beautiful.
Cynthia Erivo is incredible, but...
Is that...
Elphaba?
That's my favorite character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Abby, prior to this episode getting turned off at first, Abby asked me my favorite and my least favorite. I don't really have a least favorite, but my favorite was that character.
Elphaba?
Yeah.
She's so... Ugh. Cynthia is just... But anyways, so Defying Gravity came on, and that song is like, I don't know, like I told Ryan, it was like 6-year-old Abby was going to see this movie, not like 22-year-old Abby. And I know that sounds silly to you. You can smile and smirk all you want.
I also have another little take that I'll get to after this.
Okay, fine, whatever.
It's a hot take.
Okay, but anyways, I grew up on that show. That has been in my life for so long. And that song that's like the song I sing when no one's watching. And it's just it's just more than just like a song. So I heard it and then I was like, oh, and like, I don't know. It just like hit in a different way, not because of the song and the show, but because of the memories attached with it and like the nostalgia of it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so that is why I cried. But then the movie, I stopped crying and then the movie ended. And then I looked at my friend and she was crying. So then I started crying again, but then I started laughing that I was crying. So it was a mixture of like crying and laughing. And then all the emotions, I got so overwhelmed in all the emotions that it just like built up and overflowed. That's so fair. I wasn't truly like sobbing, but then it like got out of hand because I was like laughing and crying.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But it was a great movie.
I did wear my pajamas.
Yeah, you did.
To the movie.
You and your mom.
I'm not going to spoil anything, but there is, in the Emerald City scene, there is a surprise, which you were in the bathroom for this, so you didn't even see it.
Oh, yeah, I know. Whenever I came back, which I didn't even know what they were talking about, but they said I missed, like, the best part.
Mm-hmm. You did, truly.
Yeah, it was two characters that come back, right?
No, you can't. I have to cut that out now.
Well, no, they don't know what characters.
No, people are going to know.
Sweetie, you don't have to cut that out.
I'll put a beep over it or something.
No, why?
If I was listening to that, I would have known exactly what you meant.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys.
It's okay. What was your hot take?
Oh, well, I will say...
Be careful, because the theater community is strong might get canceled.
Well, this is a part of the theater community here, because Abby's a strong member of the theater community.
True.
May have been a little theatrics with the reaction, because she did do a before... reaction TikTok and after. May have played a little bit of a factor into the crazy reaction to
I'm kind of sad because you couldn't even see my tears in the video. Everyone go like it up on TikTok. That's my potty. Shameless plug. But Ryan had a really big theater weekend this weekend because he saw my show that I was in on Friday and Saturday and then went and saw Wicked on Sunday.
Yeah.
So you were already done with theater anyways.
Well, I love going to live theater. I really enjoy it, especially if Abby's teaching or performing.
Thanks.
It's just, you know, it kind of, I never really felt this because all my siblings are older than me. So I never really like got to watch them play like their sport, like on that level. So it's kind of cool. It's like watching your sister or like your kid perform,
Ryan,
but it's like a different level, you know,
compared me to being his sister.
Well, do you know what I'm saying?
Though? Yeah, I do know.
Just like, it's sweet.
Yeah. I love going to see, like, even if it's a show that I really, really don't like, it's so entertaining to me if my friends are in it.
Yeah.
You're just more invested in it, I feel like.
Yeah.
But anyways, this episode is coming out 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving if you're listening on Thursday. Happy early Thanksgiving if you're listening on Tuesday or Wednesday. And if you're listening after Thanksgiving, you're not a real listener.
Nice. You really got him there.
I really got him there.
They probably feel shameful.
I'm just kidding, everybody. I'm
not. Shame on you.
The first thing I want to talk about involving Thanksgiving, and then we'll get a little more deep. Favorite and least favorite.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Great question.
But you are going to like this question.
Yeah, this is a great question. It's about time you asked something good.
Don't be mean.
I'm just kidding.
No, you're being silly. Dish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Favorite and least favorite dish. Mm-hmm. So...
Have you seen that video of Demi Lovato where they ask her what her favorite dish is? And she's like, probably a mug. It's warm and comfortable in your hand and you can put beverages in it. Have you seen that?
No.
Oh my gosh,
funny,
it's
though.
So funny.
Let's start with our least favorite dish.
There was another one. Sorry, I'm on a Demi Lovato rant, but there's another one where she's, it's like a skit or like a bit on some TV show, and she's picking these girls up from school. And they're like, we had chemistry class, and she's like, oh cool, what'd you learn? And they're like, we learned about like jeans. And she was like, oh, so like hand-me-downs. She didn't
like blue jeans.
Yeah, that's like what she was thinking.
That's funny.
I love those.
Least favorite dish by far, it's dry. It's the junior to the senior. It's the second to the first. It's turkey.
Junior to the senior.
Yeah, he's the little brother to the ham.
Oh, I was thinking like junior going to be a senior, like the transition.
No, I was trying to make a joke, like second place to first place. Like,
it's a good one.
Ham is so much superior to turkey. It's not even funny.
Yeah, ham is a lot better.
And I will say, turkey, I don't care who you are. You can get Gordon Ramsay in the, how about said Mason Ramsay? You can get Gordon Ramsay in the kitchen. That turkey's going to be dry.
Unless it's ground turkey.
It's never not dry. Well, that's
we
not
should normalize ground turkey for Thanksgiving.
Ground turkey.
We should really eat ground turkey for Thanksgiving year.
No, that's, I don't normalize. Don't normalize that, people.
It's turkey.
No, no.
There is something a little bit disturbing though to me. Like I eat meat. I'm not a vegan, but like the full turkey just sitting there and me thinking about all the turkeys that are dying and then like cutting into it makes me feel a little bit horrible.
No.
About myself.
That doesn't make me feel horrible.
It makes me sad. Those turkeys have families. Those turkeys have mouths to feed. They have children. They reproduce.
And so do we.
Yeah, but we're not eating.
Yeah, we're top of the food chain.
Just makes me sad. A little bit.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to like,
it doesn't, no.
Like if you eat a pig and you literally see the whole pig, like
you
at
ever
a cookout.
Dissected a frog?
No, I opted out of it because I was too sad. I didn't want to do it. It hurt my heart.
Mm.
I did like some sheet or something instead, like a paper. Okay, I would agree with you. Ham is better than turkey. However, my family has started doing rotisserie chickens.
That doesn't surprise me.
Because we love that meat the best.
Yeah, no, so. Rotisserie chicken's good.
We should do rotisserie chickens.
But
for
what's your least favorite meal or dish?
Oh, so you want to go least, then favorite? Okay. My least favorite is, people are not going to like me for this.
Oh, yeah.
Green bean casserole.
Oh, that's not that great.
Here's the thing about me. There are few foods that I really, really don't like. There are a lot of foods I won't eat just because, like, they're not my favorite or I'm trying to be healthy or whatever, but there are a few foods that I really don't like. Crock pot meals, casserole dishes, and pie/whipped cream. But whipped cream usually goes like on a pie or like ice cream.
I would say there's plenty of foods that you don't like.
But I guess I mean like meal kind of things. Like a casserole, there's too many textures going on in there. It's like slimy and also chunky. And sometimes there's like
dry
crispy
over top.
Bits. Yeah, it's dry. The corners are always like crusty, dusty. Like it's giving. Listen, if you love casserole, I'm not hating on you. This is a personal preference. Okay? Casseroles are very loving and comforting.
You don't have
sharing.
To. You don't have to. This casserole's not feelings.
But people who make casseroles do.
Who cares?
Me. I care. But what I'm saying is a casserole is giving like communal, like.
Like cafeteria food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just
I know what you
my
mean.
Fave.
Yeah. I actually kind of agree with that. There's casseroles that I do like though. But there's way too much typically going on in a casserole.
I like my food separate. I like to know all the flavors that I'm tasting separately, like texturally wise.
So just speaking of casseroles in general, I will do the hash brown casserole. I'm a big fan of that. And I'm also big fan of the sweet potato casserole.
See, that's another hot take. I love sweet potatoes, but I don't like things on them, like marshmallow or brown sugar, or I don't like any of that.
I those two dishes, like the sweet potato casserole to me almost is like a dessert.
Yeah.
Because my mom does the brown sugar, the marshmallow.
I do, however, I don't like pie, but I do, however, want to try to make a sweet potato pie because I feel like I will like it because it's like thick.
Yeah. I don't know if you would like that texture though.
I don't know.
It might ruin sweet potatoes for you if you
do
that.
It might. It might. But literally the recipe that I saw, it was literally just like milk, butter, sweet potato, maple syrup.
Mm.
So it's not like too much going on.
What's your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
My favorite Thanksgiving dish.
Can we give a couple? Because I have too many.
Yeah, I think my all time.
I've got probably three.
Here's the thing about me. No. My favorite, it goes back and forth. It's changed over the years. But my all-time like staple favorite that hits every single year. My uncle makes this creamed corn.
What?
And it's, you know, you've never had it, have you? No, it's so good. He like hand shucks every single like ear of corn. Like he doesn't buy it from the can. Like he gets it, shucks it, cuts it. And then he like gets some special cream or something and mixes all these like really good.
You like it?
Spices. It is so incredible to a point to where like, I don't even like that kind of stuff that much. Like corn is fine, I guess. But I don't know. There's something about it.
I don't do corn.
It's, you have to at least take a bite.
I'll give it a bite, but I'm not a big corn guy.
It's good. That and it used to be mac and cheese, but I've fallen off the mac and cheese train.
Yeah, see, that's where you're wrong.
Well, because it's, you know what it is? And I hate saying this because my family prides themselves on their mac and cheese, but I feel like it's getting less flavorful over time.
Oh no.
Each year gets less flavorful.
So are you calling out your family members on the podcast?
I'm calling out the grocery store cheese providers saying
it's not on the, it's how you season it and stuff. I feel like,
well, no, I think it has to do with the cheese. Hmm. Like we need that extra, extra sharp cheddar full fat, healthy, raw cheese.
Hmm.
Not this like.
So that used to be your. Kind of that used to be your. Favorite.
That used to be the go-to.
Yeah. Do you have any other favorites you want to point out?
I love a good like pumpkin roll or like a pumpkin dessert kind of thing, like a pumpkin muffin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But usually I just like layer on. This is usually what my plate looks like at Thanksgiving. I'll layer on. No. Well, whatever kind of meat there is. Sometimes it's not chicken. So usually ham or
ham's
turkey.
So good.
And then I'll layer up the green beans and the sweet potatoes because my family will always save me some sweet potatoes without stuff on it because they know I don't like the stuff on it. Mm. And then I'll get like tasters of everything else, like a little bit of cream corn, a little bit of mac and cheese, a little bit of like the stuff that is good but isn't going to make me feel as good. But I'm still having it.
That's fair.
And that's my Thanksgiving plate.
Wow.
And then I always have dessert. I will always save room for dessert.
My favorite is definitely mac and cheese. That's a staple. It never misses for me. It's kind of hard to mess up mac and cheese. Sometimes you can mess it up if you do the mac and cheese like casserole where you do the crust over top. It can get too dry.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You do crust on your mac and cheese?
Well, some people will do like a kind of like a mac and cheese casserole.
Oh, like breadcrumbs on top.
Yeah,
oh.
Which I'm not a huge fan of. I want my mac and cheese thick and creamy.
I want taco bowls for Thanksgiving. I want to make that a thing.
No. Second favorite.
Well, whatever.
Sweet potato casserole. Probably my second favorite.
With what topping, though?
My mom typically does like a like a brown sugar and marshmallow. and it's like melted on top.
So both of the things that I just said I didn't like.
Yeah. And then I would just have to give kudos to ham, just because it's so good.
You got to get the honey baked ham though.
You don't really eat ham a whole lot. My dad does a honey baked ham for Thanksgiving and then a country ham for Christmas, which is it's a saltier ham for Christmas. Oh. Which is really good, but he does like the sandwiches for those.
That's going to be crazy. Like, think about when we're married and we're going to have to like pick and choose like which family we're spending which holidays with.
Yeah, it'll be kind of, I feel like that stuff is just kind of goes under the radar until it happens. And then you're like, oh, well, we got to start figuring this out.
Yeah, I know. Something else that I kind of want to talk about in regards to like Thanksgiving and food specifically, since we're already on the topic now, which kind of transitioning into like a little bit deeper of a conversation, but for so long and still sometimes, like even now, like I'll still have that, like, I don't want to say like PTSD, but that feeling always, like I always know what that feeling is because I'm always connected to my eating struggles. And there have been many Thanksgivings where I have been in that mental state of like eating disorder brain, ED brain.
We have to be careful saying that.
Yeah. With like family meals. And I kind of just want to talk about it a little bit because if you're listening to this before Thanksgiving, like I feel like it's not, or at least from what I've heard, I haven't heard a lot of people talk about it that much. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's something that can be kind of comforting to kind of like walk through in preparation because, yeah, there's just a struggle. So what I'm kind of like touching at here is like the holidays are uncomfortable, especially around food.
Yeah, they're uncomfortable for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, it doesn't just have to be like eating related, and you haven't had to have struggled with an ED to struggle with food around the holidays. Like it could be for a multitude of reasons.
Yeah, and also just holiday time can be a struggle for other things too.
Which I want to talk about all those, but I want to stay in eating first.
Yeah,
and then kind of branch out.
I think too, it's really important just to like let people know like you're not alone in your struggle. Like there's so many people out there that need to hear that.
Yeah.
In the sense of there's people around you that care and there's also a God that really cares.
Yeah. I think, so here's my spiel. Okay, everybody. For so long, I had this like all or nothing mindset of like, okay, I either eat nothing at Thanksgiving or I eat everything at Thanksgiving and it's the ultimate cheat meal because like I'm going to already eat unhealthy anyway, so I might as well just like stuff myself. And I think both are very unhealthy. Mm-hmm. I think in the place that I was at where people were just begging me to eat, it was praised to stuff myself until I felt uncomfortably full. And at the time, yes, like logistically, that's what I needed. But mentally, that is not what I needed at all. Cause now I still fight those thoughts to this day of like, oh, stuff yourself or else you're not doing enough. Like stuff yourself until you're uncomfortably full or else you're not eating enough. You're not doing enough. And that's just not healthy. Like to operate as a human being, like when I feel so stuffed, I'm not honoring my body in that way. Mm. I'm not that same little girl. So it has affected me in that way still as an adult. Thanksgiving and preparing for a meal, in my opinion, is a lot more like logistical. Like it can be a lot more practical than feelings based. Going into it. And that's something that really helped me in my recovery was being like looking at food as numbers and as fuel and taking emotions out of it. Now that is what specifically has helped me. For other people that could be differently, but if you're the same way that my brain operates, this could be a helpful tool for you. That's why I load my plate up with the healthy proteins, the vegetables, the things. And then I also treat myself to those foods that don't necessarily love me back as much, but I still get to enjoy them, but I'm not overindulging to a point to where I know I'm going to be laying on the couch for the rest of the day and not able to like converse with my family because my stomach hurts so bad. And I feel like that is a tool to kind of like take of looking at your plate at Thanksgiving and saying, okay, how do I look at this and not see what I can take away, but see what I can add? I love the mac and cheese. I love the butter. I love the rolls. Awesome. Have a roll, put some butter on it, have a side salad. Like, add the side salad because that's going to help keep you full. And there's nothing wrong with having two bread rolls, right? But you're starting out with that salad, so it may actually keep you a little bit fuller for longer. Just little things that you can kind of walk through and almost prepare before going into the meal so that you can think through these food thoughts first, so that when you're in the moment with your community, you can focus on focusing on your people and not letting the food thoughts take over. Like, so many Thanksgiving meals, I was just constantly thinking about food, always. Sitting there being like, don't get hungry again, don't get hungry again, don't get up again. Oh, are you going to go up and get another? Well, I guess you're just going to get 5 more plates because you've already ruined it by getting a second one.
Wow.
And it's those mental thoughts where it's like, it's time for us to take those thoughts captive, let the devil know that he does not control us. We serve an audience of one, and the only person who I care about, the only thoughts who I'm carrying from my brain to my heart is what the Lord is sending to my heart, to my Holy Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit in my heart. Go in prepared with the armor of God and the tools he has given you to think through the logistics of what your Thanksgiving meal is going to be like. And when you have not a blueprint, but a structure, not a, okay, this is exactly how it has to go, and if I mess up, it's done. Not that, but have some bones and some structure of like a little safety net of like, okay, I have somewhat of a plan, and if I want another slice of cake, okay, awesome. If I, you know, but you already have some thought going into it so that you can focus on your people, focus on your community, and focus on the memories, because I don't remember the food that I ate at Thanksgiving every year, but I remember the conversations and the people that were there.
Right.
I was kind of a little bit all over the place, but there's just been so many years where I go into Thanksgiving meals specifically, and all I can think about is the food, whether that's not eating it, overeating it,
and not in
how much
way.
I ate. Yeah, not in a good way.
Like you're over obsessing over the food.
Yeah. And I mean, I'd be lying.
I think about the food. But in a completely different way.
Right. Right. And because you get excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
I get stressed about it.
Yeah.
And I've come a long way, but I'd be lying to you if I told you like I still didn't get uncomfortable when I think about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because on my day to day, I have my meals that like, okay, I know I have 2 servings of yogurt and a sweet potato and an avocado for one meal. And I feel great after that.
There's not as much thought that goes into it.
Right.
There's all these different foods that you don't see but once a year.
Right. But what I'm saying is like I have my meals that I know how I feel after. I know the sizes of the meals that I eat and how I feel after that. I know what I eat before I work out and how that makes me feel. I have this is all new foods.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel after it. I don't know how much I'm going to want of each of these foods. And if I overeat on these foods, I'm going to feel sick. And that stresses me out because I don't want to feel sick. And I don't know. There's just a lot of like unknowns that can feel very, very stressful for people of my brain. And I'm so happy to be at a point now to where like I don't feel that.
Yeah.
And I am excited. And I am excited thinking about all the foods that I'm going to go enjoy and bond with my family. But I'm still connected to that little girl who also had those thoughts too.
Yeah.
And so I still implement some of those practical steps as well.
That's good. So obviously I don't have a whole lot of, I guess, steps to take through this, but I'm just going to pick your brain about stuff and see if, you know, this is, you know, some encouragement and things that might help. So what you're saying is to try and take less of your thoughts on the food, but focus more on the people around the table.
Kind of. I think I'm saying it's not necessarily remove the thoughts of the food.
Mm-hmm.
It's remove the worries of the food and go in with a plan.
Yeah.
So that you know there's something you know in food when all you don't have control over any of these foods, how they were prepared, the sizes of them, what they're going to taste like. You don't have control over any of that, but what you do have control of is what your plate looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And so really be real with yourself and navigate what a healthy plate looks like for you. And anyone with an ED And there are lots of different EDs. There are many categories of ED. The specific one that I had, I don't know if I can specifically say the word, but I'll just describe what it, we don't want to get like copyright or whatever, but, or not copyright, trigger, whatever.
Yeah.
But
we want to talk about real stuff without somebody
taking it down.
Yeah. Taking it down.
But, my specific ED that I had, I was trying to eat nothing. I was basically just trying to go through the day without eating anything. And so anyone who has that specific category of ED as well, I feel like we are in touch with ourselves at least enough to know that is not healthy. So you have to be real with yourself and saying like, okay, you know, healthy is a very broad term.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no benchmark for what a healthy plate looks like, but healthy for you. And maybe you invite like counsel into that. Maybe you invite a mentor into that. Maybe you invite other people to kind of help you because you don't really know what that looks like. You're struggling with that right now, you know?
Yeah.
But for me, like I know I feel good on clean proteins. I honestly don't feel great when I have a bunch of like roughage. So I'm probably not going to load up on salad. I feel good on carbs. So I'll probably get a couple bread rolls in there.
We'll get all types of mashed potatoes.
And I also know I'm working out like a maniac right now. I need calories, like a lot of calories. But I also know that I have a very big tendency to overindulge to a point where I feel sick. And so I'm going to sit and say, okay, this is my specific plan. My plate is going to be full of vegetables, proteins. I'm going to also treat myself to the more indulgent foods. And then I'm going to sit for like 20 to 30 minutes after that first plate. I'm going to drink some water. I'm going to let it sit.
You're going to drink some water?
Yeah. I know it's big for me. But I'm going to let it sit because if I get up immediately after and go get another plate, like I'm still going to be hungry. But then that food's going to start to digest. And then the next plate will start to digest until I feel like, oh, uncomfortably full. And I know I don't want to feel like that. So I'm going to probably sit for like 20, 30 minutes. And that's just like a tool. It's not me restricting saying, okay, I can't eat anything else. It's just like, yeah, just wait it out.
I think it's important to say that because I feel like people listening, even I listening, just think like, man, that seems very, just seems like you have this, have to have this control over everything. But what you're saying is, no, I'm not saying, you're not like, I'm not trying to just control everything. I'm just trying to have tools in place.
Right. It's honestly removing the control of it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, hey, I'm going to wait probably 20 minutes, let my food digest, and then ask myself what I want next.
Like, I feel like from somebody, like my brain is listening and thinking, well, why don't you just eat whatever you want and who cares? Well, people have history with really bad relationships with food. So you have to go to their level and understand, you know, what they've been through. Well, it's just like somebody with that has a really bad relationship with alcohol.
Well, I was going to say, it's easy to compare addictions. And the hard part with food and exercise-related addictions is that the addictive side of it is the same in comparing it to alcohol, drugs, whatever. But the difference is that I need food to survive. If I am an alcoholic, I'm encouraged to cut it out completely.
That's good.
I can't do that with food. I can't do that with exercise.
Yeah.
And so that's where it's hard because, and that's where the tools come in.
Wow.
Because, you know,
I think people listening are going to really take something from this.
Thank you. But it is so important to get to that level because it, you know, eat whatever you want, do whatever you want. Great. Awesome. I can't say that to someone who struggled with drugs. I can't say that to someone who struggled with watching things online. I can't say that to someone who, like, you can't be like, hey, go to that website and watch that illegal action of these two people doing things right now. And just in moderation, like, that's not a thing. But then people say that to food and you're like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, literally, what does that mean? Because like, it's different for everybody.
You can't just tell somebody, okay, then just stop. It's like,
yeah,
I need this.
Yeah. Like you can't look at someone who's struggling with food and be like, hey, stop struggling with food.
Yeah.
But, and again, I'm not saying you can look at an alcoholic and say, hey, stop struggling with being an alcoholic. But.
Well, saying that is like putting a Band-Aid over somebody.
Right,
just break
right.
Their leg.
But the remedy for it is to stop drinking. You know? Like, what is the remedy for struggling with food?
I never thought about that.
You know, like, and again, like, if you're not eating, the remedy is to eat. But it's just hard.
But there's tools that you need to put in place.
Yeah, like, and there's levels, you know? It's not like an all or nothing thing. It's just, it's, and I've never struggled with alcohol. I've never struggled with drugs. So I am not as connected to it in that way. And so I never want to come off insensitive at all.
Yeah.
I never want to come off like I know every single problem. And there's a lot of things that I'm very ignorant to, probably in all the different categories of struggle. And it's a lot easier for me to sit here and be like, yeah, you can't compare these things and blah, 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 blah. I pray that no matter what people are struggling with out there, especially around the holidays, that you take something away from this. But I also want to just say, just for the sake of both of us, like, I'm talking about what I know, and I also know my lack of knowledge in those other areas. And so I never want to come off insensitive to any other struggle as well. Just want to put that out there.
That's not my intention
at all. But yeah, but especially around the holidays, like, food is just hard.
Yeah.
It's just hard.
Especially Thanksgiving.
I do think, though,
it's got to be the hardest one.
I do think it's great to really test you, though. Like, it still to this day gets me out of my comfort zone. I like my foods that I like.
Yeah. Very particular.
Like, yeah, I like my schedule that I like. I like...
We were just talking about that.
Yeah, my habits that I like. And kind of transitioning away from food, but, like, I like my schedule. I like my days.
Yeah.
How they go. I like being in control of, hey, you want to go hang out? Hey, you want to do this? When you're with family, you don't have control over that. Yeah. Everyone has a say in how your day is now.
Yeah.
And that is also something that I've struggled with a lot. I don't know if you've also struggled with that. But, like, especially when I was in high school, and my sister wouldn't care about me talking about this, but, like, we didn't always have the best relationship. We weren't always close. And I would really struggle with, like, knowing who I was as a person when I was around my whole family. Because, like, I really struggled a lot with, oh, if someone else is getting more laughs than I am, then I'm not funny anymore. Then what am I? I'm supposed to be the funny one. Or this person is saying something really, really smart right now. And, well, I want to be that. Why am I not that? I'm not good enough. Just a lot of comparison. And I think that also is just being a high schooler.
Yeah,
I think, and too, growing up and learning who you are, but it really made me question who I was.
Well, I think too, whenever you, maybe people listening don't have as much close of a relationship with their family, and you don't feel like you're yourself around your family, and you're only yourself around your closest friends. Like, maybe your family doesn't hold the same values as you, and you're the only Christian in your family. So you feel like whenever you go to these family gatherings, like, you're the alien, like, you're the oddball out because you're not doing whatever, or you're not, you know, having the same conversations that they're having. I feel like that can also be really, really hard around the holidays, because just like you're saying, like, you start questioning, like, who you even are, because it's like, this is my family, but I don't even really feel like I'm even family with them.
Yeah, what would you,
like, what's wrong with me? What would
you say to the person if someone came up to you and said that? Like, do you have tools?
I mean, I don't necessarily, I'm pretty close with my family. It's not like I don't, just don't talk to them. I you know, I love my family to death. I would just, you know, encourage them to not just say things to try and, you know, be the light to them, but do the things and look at it as a way to serve them and show them why you are different and what is shining and why it's shining. So say the listener right now, they're in college, whatever, and they're going back to Atlanta, Georgia. That's where we're going. So I just use that as a reference. You're in college. You're going back to Georgia for college break. You're going for Thanksgiving. You're going to see all your family. And, you know, you're probably really comfortable at college because you're the Christian there. You have a bunch of Christian friends. You have a great community. And you go back. And everybody you go back to thinks you're high school self. You're not the Christian anymore. You're high school Jack, your high school Ryan. And that can be really, really difficult because I feel like it can make, it can kind of turn people off to you whenever you're like, oh, I don't want to do that. And I would just encourage you to not just talk about why you're different, but show them why you're different. So what that can look like is to your parents, you're trying to tell them about the gospel, or your brother, tell them about the gospel, go serve them, do something for them. You know, I've heard this before. It's like, you know how you can show your parents the love of Jesus?
How?
Clean the dishes.
Oh, I've heard that.
Like, take out the trash. Like, they don't even have to ask you. You just go ahead and do it. And I guarantee you they're going to be like, what's gotten into this kid?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's really good.
So I think that's really, really important. And I would just, man, you're not alone. Like, talk to your people about it. Talk to your close people that aren't with you there. Send them a text. Be like, yeah, man, can you just pray for me as I'm at Thanksgiving with people that I feel like I should be way closer to, but for some reason there's a disconnect there.
I did always feel like an oddball, and still kind of do, just because I feel like people look forward to the holidays so much, and I get a little stressed.
Hmm.
I get worried about the holidays, and I wish I could be one of those people who's just like, yeah, like, we're going on vacation for the holidays, like, it's Christmas, it's this, it's that. And I love those holidays, I love being with my family, but the actual structure of the days and just the structure of all of the elements and the things and me being outside of my comfort zone and my schedule, it makes me feel uncomfortable.
Mm.
And that's like a discomfort that I have to live with for like however long the vacation is.
Yeah.
I've always been someone the first day of going anywhere, like literally when I was in Austin, like I really struggled. I have a lot of anxiety. I'm like out of my space. I've always been that way. Every vacation growing up, every camp I've ever been to. And it's because there's a shift in my schedule. There's a shift in my location. There's a change literally in everything. My routine's changed, my location's changed, my people I'm around have changed. Mm-hmm. And it really reveals to me how much I like have control over things. And it is a struggle. And so especially for the listener who may also feel like that as well, and kind of like, you know, is dreading the change coming. And that doesn't mean that you're dreading hanging out with your family. That doesn't mean that you don't like the holidays. It doesn't mean you're a Scrooge at all. And so hear me, like,
you're only a Scrooge if you don't like Christmas.
Yeah, actually. But what I will say is that you are not alone in those feelings. And mm-hmm. do I have all the answers? No, I don't.
But it's normal to feel that way.
But it is normal. It is more than normal, and it's not talked about enough. Yeah. Because on social media, we see all these montages of people eating their food.
It's like blah, us. Blah, like blah, blah, blah. We post those videos all the time. Oh,
yeah. And I'm going to go ahead and say this now. We are going to post those videos. And also, I'm probably going to have some days where I struggle.
Yeah, and you're going to talk about that, too.
And I'm going to talk about that as well.
Yeah, because that's life.
This guy. But I'm trying to think of like things that I've learned along the years, because I now go into like 16-year-old Abby, who would be going to Atlanta, Georgia for family Thanksgiving. She would be anxious the entire time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She goes, I would compare myself to my sister a lot. Hmm. I always felt like people liked her more than me. I felt like she could hold conversations better. I always was jealous of people who just seemed like they could put food on their plate and didn't have to think about it twice. She felt very alone in my thoughts, and very, you know, those thoughts build up and then you don't really have time to like tell your intentional person. Like for me, that was my mom. I would tell her everything, but I don't have time to tell her because we're around family.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and then there's not a lot of alone time and just a lot of these things. It feels very chaotic, but like me now, I'm so excited. And I think a lot of it is just learning over time to release control and knowing that I am not in control of my own life, but the Lord is in control of my life. And I think also looking at the big picture of like, if your time from like being on earth to eternity with Jesus in heaven is a yardstick, our time on earth is about an inch.
Life is but a vapor, James says.
This one day or this one week that I'm struggling with this vacation, probably like a fourth of a centimeter.
Right.
It's going to be okay if you don't work out for a week. It's going to be okay if you have an extra plate of food and it stresses you out. It's going to be okay if you spend a couple nights crying because you're struggling. And And I feel that hurt. I do. And also know you are not alone and you don't have to have the answers to solve it in that moment. And you also are allowed to feel those feelings.
Yeah.
The Lord gave us feelings to be able to use them to navigate what's going on inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord wouldn't have given us feelings if we weren't supposed to use them.
Yeah. James talks about how life is but a vapor. He uses that reference. So like, think about a Febreze spray bottle,
mm-hmm.
and it's there for not even a second and it disappears. He's basically saying that that's what our life is like here on earth compared to eternity. So the encouragement is that like you're here for a snap and it's over and you're going to be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. And none of this is going to, it's not going to be like this. And the other part of it is, well, it still is 75 years. And all we know of that is it's a really long time. So like, you know, saying that to somebody, they're like, okay, but like, I still have to spend 8 hours with my family on Thursday and I don't want to do that. Or I still have to think about the food. That's not going to, and I hear that and I understand that. So Jesus tells us all who are weary, come to me and I will give you rest. So I encourage you that morning and even now, you're listening to it tomorrow, you're listening to this on Tuesday, you're listening to it on Wednesday, you're listening to it on Thursday, pray. Like, do not be anxious about anything, but pray. By prayer, or with petition.
By prayer and
by
petition.
By prayer, with petition, and thanksgiving. Give your request to God. So he's like, do not be anxious, but pray, 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 and pray. So I encourage you to not be anxious about anything, but pray. And he's saying that, he says, do not be anxious. So he's saying that, because we are going to be anxious about it.
Yeah, it's not like it's a sin to feel anxiety.
Exactly. He's not saying, if he would tell us that, if he said, you cannot be anxious, he would have told us, you cannot be anxious.
Yeah.
But he's saying, you're going to have worry and you're going to have anxiety around this. So pray, 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 and pray.
Yeah, it's basically, I heard someone else say, like, when God says, like, when Jesus says, do not be afraid, he's not saying, like, do not be afraid, like finger shaking. He's going to them because they are afraid. And he's right. Saying, hey, don't be afraid. I'm here.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, don't be anxious. I'm here. Mm-hmm. But you won't know he's here unless you talk to him. And talking to him is prayer.
And the end of that, it actually tells you, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Mm,
that's so good. I also want to like caveat that a little bit and look at it on the other side of like, we've got goals, whether it's career goals, whether it's fitness goals, whether it's physique goals, whether it's personal goals, whether it's emotional goals, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when we have like vacations or family time where we're supposed to slow down, take time off, culture sees that as like a bad thing. Like, for example, I'm training for this marathon and I'm like, oh, I'm going to be in Atlanta for a week. Like, am I going to fall back on my goals?
Mm.
Is this going to put me steps behind? And then am I going to come back to Bowling Green and never want to run again? And, you know, the thoughts just like escalate so quickly. And again, if you're feeling that way, I want you to know I hear you. And also, it's not
that deep.
You're going to be okay. Oh. No, like your goals are still going to be your goals. That doesn't mean that you're not motivated. It doesn't mean that you don't work hard. If you enjoy time with your family and quote unquote slack off, like culture has told us these words of like slacking off. You're really just resting. You're really being a human. Like, and I feel for the people that do have to work during the holidays, our single mothers, our people who are trying to put things together, people who may not have family and they need to work and do things. And, you know, there are times for that as well. And I feel so deeply and truly, and I can't tell you, I know what that feels like. And I don't think those people even want to hear me say that, because I don't. But what I do want to say is that like culture has hustle so infiltrated in it, that like I have to fight the thoughts of believing that if I go on vacation for a week, I'm going to fail my goal at the marathon.
Let me just tell you something. Nobody is going to be sitting over standing over your deathbed. It's a little dark and deep. Nobody's going to be sitting over your deathbed and thinking, man, I can't believe they ran 12 miles on the day of Thanksgiving.
That's so good.
They're going to remember, though, how positively you impacted their life.
Yeah.
And they're going to remember memories that you spent with them.
That's good. I want to touch on a little bit the people that may not have family
for Thanksgiving. You like touching on it a little bit?
Stop. But because we're both very blessed in being close with our families and mm-hmm. having families to go to.
Mm-hmm.
For the listener that may not have that, I don't know what that feels like. And I am also saying that even though we may not see you, and I'm kind of speaking for both of us, we feel for you and we love you and we're giving you our love. And I know you may be thinking like, you're on a podcast. You literally have no idea who I am. Like, what is this girl even like? This is the first episode I ever clicked on. You have no idea who I am. Well, I'm specifically speaking to you, and I will be praying for every single person that listens to this podcast, whether they have a family to go to on Thanksgiving during the holidays, whether they don't have a family to go to on Thanksgiving, whether it's that single mother that wants to create that Thanksgiving for their children, or that single father or that single grandma who's taking care of her daughter's children because she can't, whatever situation there is, whether you're, you know, whatever. I'm not going to name anymore.
Yeah, you're going.
I'm going a little crazy. You are seen. You are loved. There is someone in your community that you can reach out to, and your feelings and the way that you feel and the things you need to talk about need to be heard. They are important. Take that step to talk to someone, to be with someone. You are not a burden. You're supposed to take up space. And we truly, 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 truly love you and are sending you our love. I can't sit here and be like, these are the tools and this is, because there's no advice, you know?
Yeah.
For that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Other than just, I'm sorry and I'm here.
Yeah. Sometimes that's all people need to hear.
Yeah. And that's all I can give.
Yeah.
But I am sorry and I am here and we love you. Yeah. Do you want to say anything to that?
No, I don't think so. On a lighter note, we are going to Atlanta.
So now transitioning.
Yeah.
We are going to Atlanta. I wanted to talk about the crumble pies.
Oh my god.
We need to talk about the crumble pies. So Ryan and I tried the 6 pies today, and
I gotta pee.
Right at the most interesting conversation topic. I gotta pee
so bad. Can we stop for a second? Go ahead.
And Ryan's back from the bathroom. How was it?
It was good.
Good.
Everything came out properly.
Good. I'm glad. The crumble pies. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I loved them.
I hated them.
I know.
Well, hate is a strong word. I don't want to say
hate.
Well,
you gave one a 0 out of 0.
I disliked them.
Out of 10.
I don't like pies, but what do we think about crumble now becoming crumble and not crumble cookies?
I kind of like it.
I don't know, man. Don't ruin a good thing.
I will say they started with the cookie or the cakes, and some of the cakes are like my favorite things they've ever
I do think they do cakes with. Better than they do cookies.
Wow.
Yeah. Don't you?
Yeah, maybe not.
I've never had a cake that missed.
Yeah, that's a good point. All their cakes hit.
Their cakes, every single cake I've tasted, I like.
You know what they haven't done that I wish they would do?
What?
A coffee cake.
Oh, that's so good. They should do that. Listen, the pies this week, pumpkin pie, cookies and cream.
Apple.
Pecan. Pecan, French silk pie, and key lime pie.
The key lime pie was mid.
The key lime pie is so sour, y'all. So sour. If you're going to go to Crumble and get a pie, get the pecan pie and get the cookies and cream pie. The cookies and cream pie tastes like a Chick-fil-A cookies and cream milkshake.
It does.
All the other ones, mid.
Yeah, they were all mid.
Anyways, listen, guys. We're going to close. We're going to close with our high and low of this week.
High was watching you perform.
Thanks.
Low was possibly okay, I'm done. Low was probably whenever we got into an argument.
That was also my high and low.
Yeah.
But not watching me perform, seeing you after I came out was
so nice. That's some bull.
Except the first
that's
night.
That's some bull.
No, it is. I was so excited on Friday. I came out. It was not like a letdown, but there was just so much going on. We went like straight from bowing at the end of the show to going to see people. And I was like looking for Ryan and he was like in a corner and I kept trying to like get to him, but I couldn't. And then when I finally did, there were like so many people around him and I was like, hey, what'd you think? And he was like, good job. And like looking everywhere because there was just so much going on and it was like very stimulating. And
yeah
but the second night was better. The
second night was better. Ton of fans like around me asking for autographs and stuff.
No, we did have some For Lifers though out there.
Were there really?
Yeah.
I was kidding, guys.
There was, the first night there were a couple people. So before the show, I had to go out in character. It was like me and two other people in the cast. We went out in character and kind of just like walked around and talked to people in character. And these two girls said, we watch your YouTube channel. And I go, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't have a YouTube channel. And they were like, they like started playing along with the bit.
Oh, that's great.
It was so funny. And they were like, well, if you did have a YouTube channel, we would really like it. And
that's
I was like,
great.
Oh my goodness, thank you. And then I'm not going to out myself. Well, it doesn't matter
you
now.
You broke character.
I broke character.
Oh, well, the first night, Abby
I couldn't
was in
help myself.
Abby was in character, and I just gave her a big old hug, and she like whispers in my ear, I'm supposed to be in character. I was like,
I'm so bad at, I'm just so bad at stuff like that. I don't think I'll ever be able to work at Disney. I really
well,
don't.
We're never going to live there, so it's perfect.
You don't know that.
I do. We never live in Orlando.
Wedding
Unless, actually, I'll take that back. If I'm allowed to get season tickets to the Orlando Magic, I will let you
I don't work. Even know what that is, so okay.
An NBA team.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Then
are they expensive?
Yeah. They're really expensive.
Well, you can use your paycheck for it then.
Well, we're going to be married. It's going to be ours.
Well, then, well, to be determined. Anyways, wedding update. We have a videographer. We have colors. We have dresses. We have flowers.
Abby, I didn't think Abby was going to be like this, but she's changed colors like 8 times.
Yeah, I changed colors like a million times.
And she landed on my favorite, so.
Yeah.
We're back.
We're so back. And then I have my dress. I don't know if I've told y'all that or not, but I have my dress. It has these really big puffy sleeves, and it's red right across from
You're
here.
You're lying.
I'm just kidding. I don't have a veil yet. I don't know if I'm going to do a veil or not.
Is the veil the head?
Yeah. I don't know if I will or not, just because the dress, I don't know, like the dress is a little different, so the veil might not work with it. I don't know.
Also, Abby and I we're coming back from Hawaii in July, and she's already trying to get us to move to Florida.
Yes, there was this video on TikTok of this girl being like, who wants to move into my house? So I got in touch with her, and now we're talking.
Yeah, so that's that, guys.
So you never knew. No, we may be going to Anna Maria Island. Stay on the lookout for That's Life Training. It's gonna happen, people. I just had to get through this show, but yeah. It actually is gonna happen.
We're back.
We're so back. And that's life.
Happy Thanksgiving,
truly.
Everyone.
Hey, we love you guys. We're praying for you. Jesus loves you. We love you. And that's life.